Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
Amen. Well, we're going to get back into the book of John now. But we are talking about after Jesus came back up out of the grave and arose from the grave, and this is the third time he's appeared to his disciples, and he's given them their final commission, recommissioning Peter, and three times Peter failed, and three times Jesus restores him, and three times he has denied him, and three times he tells him, go back to work, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, and to take care of the flock. We saw the last time that was what was going on, and we were in verses 14 through 17, and we kind of mostly finished that up. But remember that when we're called to follow Jesus, that the first thing that can be said about us is that we have a commitment to love like Jesus loves. Jesus gave Peter that new commission, and you know, I think when he said, do you love me? That's what he wants us to do. You know, the Bible says, if you think about it this way, what does it say? Love the Lord thy God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then do what? Love your neighbor as yourself, right? You know, and I was just thinking about that, how Jesus did that to Peter. You know, the first thing he says in verse 14 or 15, he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he was asking, you know, do you love me more than these guys that you claimed you did, and then you denied me three times, right? It wasn't more than these fish, more than these other things that you're doing. And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then what does he do? He tells him, feed my lambs. Take care of the little ones. Feed them. Give them the word of God while they're still young. You know, we got to train these kids while they're young, right? We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our country and the world, because we got so many today that are growing up without the word of God. And if we don't start getting the word of God in them, a lot of these kids are so biblically illiterate that some of the things that we take for granted, some of the places we go with these young guys and young ladies and children, they don't know these stories. They don't know the Bible. They've never heard the things that we were brought up hearing. And you know, you got to reach them young, because you know, a lot of times if you let other people reach your kids when they're young, by the time they get older, they get set in their ways, right? And that's why it's important to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Start early. You know, and I know it's a little late for us, but we could pray for the children of this nation. Pray for the parents. We can help. You know, you can help your children do a better job with their children or grandchildren or great grandchildren, whatever we have. You know, we all of us need to make sure that the kids are learning the Word of God. And that's what Peter says. You know, bring them to the Lord. Show them the word of God. Teach them when they're early. And then he says, second time, you know, notice he says, you know that I love you. You know, he didn't refer to anybody else. He says, you know, I love you. And, you know, the previous time he says, you know, though all else deny you, I won't deny you, right? He says a second time in verse 16, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And we talked about him calling him son of Jonah. And, you know, this is, remember, he renamed him Peter, but he's never really called him Peter. He's called him Simon Peter or Simon son of Jonah ever since he called him Peter. And I think once he gets the Holy Spirit, and after Jesus resurrects from the grave and the Holy Spirit comes, that's when he becomes Peter the rock. Right now, he's still kind of shaky one, right? He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. We talked about there was two different, there was the word agape, that willful love, and two times he asked Peter, do you love me? Do you agape love me? Do you love me? And he uses the same word, that willful love. And Peter says the second time, "Do you, I phileo you, I have friendship love for you, I have affection for you." Peter's not willing to go to the full extent that he's willing to say, "Yeah, I will die for you. Yeah, I will go to the ends of the earth for you." So second time he says, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, I phileo you. I friendship love you. I have affection for you." He says to him, "Tend my sheep." And that's the word for elder or pastor, that he's to lead and guide and protect the sheep, right? The ones that have already trusted Christ. And that's what he's saying there. And I wasn't sure I covered all this last week, so if it's kind of redundant, I just wanted to make sure that we got these things, because I kind of rushed through these three verses here. And then he said to him the third time, verse 17, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And this time Jesus stoops to his level and he says, do you love me? Do you have the friendship kind of whatever affection for me? And it says Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." He was, I guess Peter felt like he was questioning his love for him, you know. And Peter gets to this place where he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." But he's not willing to just jump up and down and get up on the top of the thing. You know, Peter's always Mr. Impetuous. But remember, it's the impetuous people that they get in trouble. But you know what? They get a lot of things done too, don't they? What is it they say? Say people like that rush in where fools fear to tread or something, you know? I'm kind of like that sometimes. I get in gear and I get to rolling, you know, and sometimes I get in trouble, but that's okay. Sometimes I get a lot of stuff done. But you know, Peter, we just need to quit beating up on some of these people. They've given them all these names, Doubting Thomas, and beat up on Peter all the time. There's only one time we hear of Thomas really doubting, and then there's only Peter was the leader of the group. He's the one that starts the whole church, preaches, and 3,000 people are saved. He's the man that Jesus depends on. Now, remember when this happens, Peter's not becoming the first pope. He is just the guy that he is using to start the church. Jesus said, "I am the cornerstone, the foundation, and these are the building bricks. These are the rest of it. I am the cornerstone and they are the foundation." And so it's built on the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus being the chief cornerstone. So Jesus is the rock and all the rest of us are those that are built around Jesus. And the Bible says that the church is being built into a growing building that keeps on growing into a temple that's holy for God. He says, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And so what does he say to him? Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So first it's feed the lambs, the little baby ones, show them the word of God, teach them, evangelize them. The second thing is, once you've evangelized them, disciple them, grow them, strengthen them. Doesn't do any good to save people if you don't have a church to put them in, right? And so you got to have a pastor to shepherd them. And then he says to feed the sheep, you know, keep on feeding them, keep on doing it. And so that's kind of the thing. Keep on feeding my lambs. Keep on tending my sheep. Keep on feeding my sheep. Keep on doing these things. Peter's kind of the way this the Greek speaks it. And then Jesus says to him, "Most assuredly," verse 18, when we get to verse 18, he's going to start a new thought here. And in verse 18, we want to see not only is a committed Christian compelled by love, but a committed Christian is controlled by God. You know, whatever God wants to do in our life, we should be able to say, "Yes, Lord," right? He says to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you," in verse 18, "when you were younger, you girded yourself and walk where you wish, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another one will gird you and carry where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. So we see that the instrument for feeding the sheep is the word of God. And then we see that the next thing that happens is we got to let God take control of our life. You know, we just have to be able to think about that verse that says, you know, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me, right? So once you give all your life to God, then you just let him take control of you. You know, we get so upset sometimes, and I do the same thing, we all do, when our life doesn't take the path that we want it to take. When we hit the bumps in the road and all the tough things in life that we go through. And we forget that Jesus didn't promise, as the old song says, a rose garden. You know, but he promised us that there'd be trouble, that there'd be trials, that there'd be tribulation. There'd be all these things, and that the suffering of this world is not counted to be worthy with the glory which we'll have in heaven. And so we are going to have those things in this life. But this is as bad as it gets, folks, for those that know Jesus Christ. I mean, the worst thing that can happen to us here is going to be nothing compared to how great heaven's going to be. The suffering of this world, and so many times we get upset because we want to control every little thing in our life, you know? And we like to lay it out just so, and when it doesn't happen, we get upset, don't we? You know, well, this didn't happen like I wanted. I planned it that way, right? So what does Psalm 37 verse 5 say? Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him. And it's he says, just let it go. Here's my life. What's the old song? Let it be consecrated, Lord, unto thee. You know, and I can't remember the rest of the words right this second, but just take my life and do what you want to it. Paul said, if I live, I live unto the Lord, and if I die, I die unto the Lord, right? And if you decide to allow this in my life, then, you know, then that's your prerogative. I'm just your messenger boy. I'm just your servant while I'm here on earth, and one day it's going to be worth it all, as the old song says, when we see Jesus. Peter, his self-confidence led to failure, right? But, you know, I've been so much lately trying to pray those verses, you know, over in Proverbs where he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall guide and direct your paths. And then I like this. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. And so basically he says, don't be wise in your own eyes. You know, be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And acknowledge him in all your ways and he's going to guide and direct your paths, right? I was trying to remember, there's another verse that says, a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps, you know. Man plans his ways, but God directs your steps. You think, I'm going this way, and God said, no, you're not. Son, you're going this way. We just have to remember, we're not in control, right? Yeah. We have to let God control our life, take control of our life. So that's kind of what Jesus is saying here. Go back to verse 18. Most assuredly, remember that says, truly, truly, amen, amen, or I tell you the truth, or listen up, folks. What I'm about to say is very important, right? He says, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. In other words, you did what you wanted to. You put your clothes on, you did your things, you did what you wanted to. But then he says, when you were old. In other words, Peter, you're going to get old. He says, you will stretch out your hands. And that's really a euphemism saying that he's going to be put on the cross, right? Yeah. And he says, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. And then it says, this he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify the Lord. He's saying, Peter, you're going to get old, and you don't have to worry about it, though. You know what? You're going to go to the cross. You're going to glorify me. You know, Peter had one chance. You know, you ever wish you got a do-over? You know, that's one thing about the computer I like about the computer. And sometimes I wish I could do it in my life. You know, they got an undo button or a delete button. Don't you wish you had an undo or a delete button in your life? There's some things that you wish you could just say, boop, it's gone, undo, or delete, bam, it's gone. Never did that, never went there, never had that problem, never did that stupid thing. That would be nice, wouldn't it? And I like that about a computer. You could always go back unless you really mess up bad, and you can hit that undo or that delete button or something and change something, get rid of it. And sometimes, though, once you hit that send button, it's gone. Though, if you send an email, you're in trouble. So there's no undo, no delete after that. So anyway, Jesus says that you know, when we live in this world, guess what? That this mixed up world, that there's going to have to be sacrifice for him, right? And, you know, the long, painful history of the church is the history of the people always tempted to choose power over love, control over the cross, and being a leader rather than being led. I like that. Somebody else wrote that. I can't remember who. Power over love. Instead of loving people, we want to have power. We want to have control rather than the cross or the suffering that goes with it. And we'd rather be the leader rather than let somebody else tell us what to do. We always want to be the front of the line, don't we? And he says, Peter, you know, you've been in control, but you're going to be so dependent that somebody else is going to take you to the cross. They're going to dress you, and they're going to hang you on the cross. You know what? The other thing about that, that, you know, it's not good that Peter goes to the cross in some ways, but in another, it is good because, what does it say? He's going to glorify God, right? And history says, we don't know that it's true. We believe it's true. It says that Peter did go to the cross, and he said he was too unworthy to be crucified like his Savior, and he asked that he be crucified upside down. And so we don't know that that's true or not, but that's what they say actually happened. And the other good thing about this is he's going to tell Peter, guess what, Peter? Yes, you failed the first time. Yes, you denied me. Yes, you ran away. You said you would even die for me. But guess what, Peter? You don't have to worry about it. Yes, I've told you, and you're going to have to live with this for about 3 decades. You're going to die on that cross. But guess what? You don't have to ever wonder whether, when push comes to shove, are you going to deny me again? Are you going to not be able to do what you're supposed to do, right? Now, as like the old guy, the pastor was on the airplane, and the airplane started going all over the place, going crazy, and people were scared and crying out for God. And he got pretty scared all too, and he says, Lord, he said, I thought you said when it came time to die, you'd give me dying grace. He says, son, you ain't dying today. You don't get it till you need it, right? Anyway, he was telling Peter, you know, when the time came, you're going to have the strength, you're going to have the courage, you're going to have the ability to do what God has called you to do. You know, and that's something we all ought to be praying that, Lord, we'd be, you know, we started out well and we would finish well too. And that's what Peter's going to do. The last thing we want to see here, and we'll kind of just get this started. I don't even know whether to start it today. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. When he spoke this, he said to him, follow me. And the last thing that we see as a committed Christians is content with following and doing God's will. And he says this word, follow me, it's a command. You know, it's just like these other verses, and I didn't bring that up when he said, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. Those are all commands from Jesus. Guess what? He's recommissioning him, and he says, follow me. You remember how the whole book of John started out? What did he do? He called them to follow him, right? He says, come and see, follow me. When he dies, it's going to bring glory to God. Because of the way he dies. You know, I heard something yesterday. We were talking about the guy. I don't know if y'all remember that guy, John Huss. He was one of the guys that was martyred back in the, I guess, 15, 1600s or something. And he was killed for standing for the word of God. And they called him Huss, means goose. And that's where we got to say. And what they put John Huss and they put him on the fire, and they lit him up and burned him at the stake. And one man says, the goose is cooked. That's where we got that saying from. This was another preacher, but, you know, his name meant goose. And so they said, your goose is cooked, and that's where we got that saying from. Sometimes, and I don't think probably, hopefully none of us will be called to do that, but we just thank God that when it comes that time that he's going to, that we're going to follow him and do what we're supposed to do. I'm just going to stop right there today. There's no sense going on, because once I get into follow me, I got a bunch of follow me means this and follow me means that kind of lessons. And that'll kind of finish out. I think we can finish this up next week. And we'll be through with the book of John. And then maybe we'll spend one more week just kind of run through real quick and do a summary of it real quick. Why don't we pray and then I'll find a couple of songs. Father, we just ask today, Lord, that if it comes push to shove, that we have to, Lord, whatever we're called to do, that we would not fail and not fall, but we would follow you and we would not deny you, Lord, if it comes down to that one day. Lord, we ask that you would just give us strength each and every day to follow you, to take up our cross, to deny ourselves and to follow you, and to do what it takes, Lord. Our will should be your will. Our love should be your love. And Lord, we should be just content with following you, because you have the best plan for our life. We could never conceive of anything as good as what you would ever do in our lives, Lord. So today we want to say we want to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Acknowledge you in all our ways and lean not unto our own understanding, knowing that you will guide and direct our paths. Lord, we thank you that you rose from the grave a couple of thousand years ago, Lord. We thank you for that, that you died for our sins, but you were buried and you rose again that we might be declared righteous, not guilty. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Those in the nursing home facilities are locked up in bodies that do not work, in a wheelchair, or in a bed. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems. Some have told us we want to have a real family because their parents have lost or given up custody of them. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up at the jails and the prisons, to those locked up in addiction, to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, to those locked up in a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us abundant life, joy, and set us free. And these people that we minister to are not free. Our desire is to show them, whatever their background, no matter what they've done, to see how much God loves them. We seek to help them receive forgiveness and freedom from their sin in Jesus Christ. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham area. We have recently expanded our ministry to the Lexington, Columbia, South Carolina area. We do over 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you will support us in some way that so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button or send it via regular mail to Post Office Box 1881, Lexington, South Carolina 29071. We hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you and God bless you. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. John 8:32.